Pippa Hudson. Lines are always open on 021 446 0567.
It's hard to believe it was a year ago today that those big fires descended on Knysna and surrounds. You know, as we ended the show that day, I saw a call coming in on my computer screen where phone calls come in with an 044 dialing code. And I recognized it because my parents live in Knysna. It was 1 minute to three though, so we didn't have time to take that call. And I packed up my desk and I got into my car and switched on the radio for my drive home. And there I sat and listened in horror as caller after caller phoned into John's show, sharing increasing panic about what was happening. Thousands of people were evacuated from their homes in the ensuing hours. And what followed needs, I think, little recapping. We remember that seven people lost their lives, including a firefighter battling those flames. We remember that hundreds were displaced and, in some cases, left unemployed as businesses were affected. We remember that over 1,000 or around 1,000 homes and businesses were lost. Not to mention hundreds of pets and wild animals also affected by those fires. I visited Knysna not too long after the fires, and it was like visiting another planet or walking on the landscape of the moon in some places. There were just swathes of nothing, of blackened, burnt-out ground and burnt-out trees and burnt-out cars and tractors. For me, the biggest anomaly, and I still can picture it to this day, was seeing sparkling blue swimming pools standing in front of nothing. The charred remnants where all you could see was the outline of the foundations of the home that used to stand alongside them. It was just unbelievable as an outsider to have been through it as a resident must have been unthinkable. And of course, for many Knysna residents, it might be a day that they would rather forget, or a series of days, I should say more accurately. But there are many things worth remembering about those days of flame, because there are so many remarkable stories that came out of them, of people coming together to help each other, to help friends, to help neighbors, but also to help complete strangers. So I think it's very fitting that on this anniversary, the town has gathered to break ground on a wall of remembrance, which is going to honor those who lost their lives in the fire and also honor those who gave so much as volunteers in the aftermath. And on the line with me first up is Bruce Barty, who is a spokesperson for the Knysna Fires Facebook page. I think it's an amazing page, and it was such a source of accurate information in the time of the fires themselves that I really think the first hats off and thank you today, Bruce, goes to you and your team for putting that site and that page together, because it played a huge role in coordinating people's evacuations, people's ability to find our accurate information and to find each other. Bruce, it must be rather a bittersweet day for you all, though, in Knysna today. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me on, Papa. Yes, a lot of people very emotional, a lot of people very, very raw in their minds what happened. A lot of people still bowling, a lot of people still needing assistance. But yeah, the community came together in a way unseen, really, in this area anyway. And the fact that so many people, not only from around South Africa, but from around the world, opened their hearts and their wallets to help lift people up and to get them off the ground again.
Yeah. Bruce, you were there at the unveiling of that wall of remembrance this morning. Can you tell us what the ceremony was like and what the idea behind the wall is?
Well, Pippa, it all started 3 months after the fires. We put up a post on the 90 days on the page, remembering what had happened and people that had extended a helping hand. And it kind of sowed the seed for what we wanted to do later on for the anniversary. And about 2 months ago, my wife came up with putting up a wall of remembrance. So it's kind of snowballed from there. And today was the groundbreaking ceremony for Wall of Remembrance. It honors those that passed, but it also honors every single individual, organization, company, whoever it was that extended any sort of help to Knysna, the volunteers, the firefighters, everybody. There's just so many people to thank. And putting up a post or putting out a newspaper article thanking people, while it is sincere, it gets lost very quickly. So putting up a wall of remembrance means that in 5-10 years' time, when people see the wall, they can remember and they can go onto the website that will be created for the wall and go see people's stories.
Mm. Bruce, the placement of that wall is very symbolic as well, because the site is the Timber Village, which itself was wiped out in those fires, wasn't it?
Yes, absolutely. Carl and Daniel from Timber Village have been absolutely on board with the project. We are involving, obviously, Timber Village, but also fire victims who had much loss during the fire with the wall. So it all ties in beautifully with rebuilding and rising.
Bruce, how is the wall being funded? I understand you're asking people to buy an individual brick. Is that correct?
Yes, we are. The bricks are sold at 100 rand each for the wooden bricks, all made out of reclaimed wood from the fire. Companies and organizations, they will be getting a granite brick. And the funds raised out of that, whatever funds are left over after the wall is built, will be going towards the skills development program that is in development currently through Timber Village. And they are very, very fortunate to have Colin Fitzgerald, who was Madiba's carpenter, heading up the teaching side of the skills development project.
That sounds fantastic. When is it all likely to be finished? Today is turning the ground for it. When will we see the wall complete, do you think?
We thought it fitting that the unveiling of the completed wall happened during the Timber Festival. The Timber Festival last year did go ahead, but there was nothing there. There were no structures. It was all basically a burnt out ash ground. This year, Carl and Daniel will have the offices going. They'll have the showroom going. Perhaps some of the old historic boats that are around Knysna will have been placed there at the time. And then for the opening of the wall or the unveiling of the wall, we will also then have the Garden of Remembrance there. The whole community is going to get together to each have a little part in making this wall happen.
So that's, did you tell us, is it October this year, Bruce?
October the 4th and 5th, yes.
October the 4th and 5th. Okay, so bear that in mind if you're making plans to travel down the garden route later in the year. My final question for you, Bruce, is a personal one. As you reflect 1 year later on what you and the town went through, how do you think the experience has changed the community of Knysna? What do you look back on and comment on that has changed in your community?
Papa, there were many highs and there were many lows. But for us, I think the biggest positive that's come out of this is how the community pulled together. Before the fires, you would recognize people in the street and sort of walk past and, you know, casual wave hello. But today, when you walk into people in town, what used to be a half an hour trip turns into an hour trip because you're chatting to every person that you see. So the sense of community and the sense of everybody wanting to help everybody, I think that's the biggest positive that can be taken away from this.
Bruce Barty, and I think a big positive also has to be recognized in the role that your website played throughout. Bruce Barty, spokesperson for the Knysna Fires 7 June Facebook page, which played such an important role as a portal for accurate, verified information at a time when so much misinformation was being shared in the midst of the fires and has continued to be a rallying point for the community going forward. Bruce, thank you so much for chatting to us. Now, as we continue to mark the anniversary of the fires, I wanted to touch base with one of the people we spoke to last year, because of course the fires burned for several days, the relief efforts, the evacuations continued for several days, and we took a flood of calls over those days from listeners and from those with family and friends in Knysna relating what was going on. And one of the people that we spoke to on this show on Thursday the 8th of June last year was a caller named Carol, who phoned us just a few hours after she had to flee her home in Knysna Heights. Before I speak to her, let's take a listen to part of that call.
We were in Knysna Heights, and I haven't seen the other areas, but I'm assuming that this was one of the worst hits. Mm-hmm. All the houses in my road were completely flattened, and, you know, people I've known for many years, we've all lost our homes, and I don't think the impact has quite hit us yet. Mm-hmm. I think we're still in shock. We never expected anything like this to happen. It happened so quickly that most of us, including myself, literally just ran out of the house with, you know, animals and clothes on our back.
Carol, we've heard many people saying they were sitting in Knysna Heights watching the fire burn on the opposite head above Belvedere and never dreaming that they were at risk. What sort of time did you realize you had to get out? And did somebody come and say you must evacuate, or was that a decision you took on your own?
Good question. We were all thinking the same thing. We were thinking this is devastating. It's far away. It would never come here. And then a neighbor drove by casually, and I went out to say hello to him. And he said, listen, you better start packing up. And I said, what are you meaning? He says, you know, it's approaching us. And it didn't make sense to me. So I casually started getting things together like passports, small toiletry items, you know, my computer, sleeping bags. And then it was literally about half an hour later that we saw our neighbor's house on flames. And then it got to be, you know, grab animals and literally throw them in the car. And we were all completely shocked. Mm. We were sitting on, obviously, Facebook and trying to get as much information as possible. But it was so devastating that there was devastation everywhere. And we just didn't think it would happen.
Carol, where did you go and where did you spend the night last night?
I went to some lovely friends of mine at Leisure Island. So we spent the night there, and a lot of people opened up their homes.
That was Carol Hampshire speaking to us on the 8th of June last year, and she's with us again on the line now. Carol, it's wonderful to be able to speak to you again, and thanks so much for chatting to us today. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Listening to that call, I mean, I get a lump in my throat imagining what you were going through at that time, Carol, and the trauma that you experienced, you and many, many others. How does it feel to be a year down the line listening to your description of the craziness of that night?
I think a lot of people, I think a lot of people can agree with me when it seems like it is a year ago, and it's hard to comprehend that. But at the same time, it was so traumatic for every single one of us. It almost feels like yesterday. It really does. And so I think the smell of the smoke, the visual impact, the kind of the experience that we were going through, it's still so raw, even though it's been a year.
Mm. Carol, in the year, I mean, you were very lucky to have friends who opened their home to you in the immediate aftermath of the fire. So many people did, as you mentioned in that call. Mm. Talk to us about what has happened to you and your family in the year since. Have you been able to rebuild your home in Knysna Heights?
I didn't personally. I decided not to rebuild my home, although all of my neighbors in my in the road have rebuilt. I was lucky to be given accommodation for a month or two by friends. And I then secured a rental, which was like hen's teeth. You can imagine after the fires, it was actually like hen's teeth. So I managed to secure a rental. The house then went on the market to sell. And I just, at that moment, I had to make a decision. Do I now find another place to rent, which was almost impossible? Or do I rebuild? What do I do? So I actually decided to take the plunge and use the insurance money that I was very lucky to have got from the insurance from the fires, and I used that money to buy the house that I was renting.
Okay, and then what have you done with your property in Knysna Heights? Have you been able to sell that, Carol?
I decided again not to sell it quite yet. I feel such an empathy towards the plot. I love the plot. I don't want to get rid of it at the moment. It's a possibility that I still might build on it. My son might live there. So I don't want to make that decision just yet, just because I don't want to make the wrong decision.
Yeah.
There's no urgency for me to sell it. I do go every now and again and do obviously have a look at it and see how it's, the regrowth is coming up. But I still love the plot, so I don't want to get rid of it right now.
Fair enough, Carol. And I think it is, they always say don't make big decisions in the immediate aftermath of a trauma. And this is one of the reasons why. Carol, I'm asking everyone the same question today. When you look back on the events of a year ago, there are so many horror stories of trauma, but there are also beautiful stories of people acting out of such compassion for one another. What will you remember? What are the moments that stand out for you, those small acts of kindness or those moments where you saw a community spirit that wasn't there before that will stay with you?
Oh, Pippa, that's exactly what I'm thinking about, is just the amount of generosity that everyone extended to me. I was completely shell-shocked, I think, for the next couple of days. But, you know, like Bruce said earlier, you go to the shops and you get hugs from strangers. You become part of a community. You know, friends of mine would come and just drop off things at my house. My son's school gave me, you know, all his uniform that was burnt up and books and things like that. You know, my house was people were continuously just giving and giving and giving, and I will never forget that. So even if I have a piece of clothing that someone gave to me, a friend gave to me, I will remember that today and thinking, okay, I remember that person, they gave this to me and that meant something to me. Because you have nothing. And my brain, and I think I can talk for most of us, our brains just weren't working.
Yeah.
And, you know, to have that kind of generosity extended, that is what I will remember. That supersedes any kind of, you know, all the other kind of bad stuff.
Yeah.
If you can imagine that, you know, the devastation, that is what I'm going to hold on to and remember.
That's fantastic that you're able to have memories mm-hmm. like that to supersede the awful ones you must have. Carol, in closing, what are you doing today? Are you doing anything special to mark the anniversary? Are you joining in any of the unveiling ceremonies or marking the day in some way?
So my neighborhood is having a bring and braai tomorrow, right outside the plot where the house was burnt. So we are going to commemorate the day just in celebration and in our little community. There are a lot of things going on within that, and I probably will do a lot more. But for me, that means a lot to me to be with my neighbors, my physical neighbors who I live next to, saw, were friends with, and I want to keep that bond. Even though I'm not living there, I really want to be with them and spend that time with them.
Carol Hampshire, thank you so much for chatting to us today, and our very best wishes to you and all of those neighbors who were affected. Carol was a resident of Knysna Heights who lost her home in that devastating fire, along with many of her neighbors. Touching base with us 1 year on.